Are you on the way home today?
Yeah.
2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that? Okay.
Okay. We left off on page 135. No, we didn't, 134. Continuing the laws of Talmud Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's basically a quote from Pirkei Avos, almost verbatim, and that's in 11, which you don't see too often. Yelech lasakav, you should go to work. D'chol Torah she'in ima malacha, sofa betila v'goreres avon. Any type of Torah which really does not associate, not connected to work at all, leads to sin. And it's interesting, if you take a look at the English, it says any Torah that's not accompanied by work will ultimately be abolished and cause sin. And the question is why? So just read the English for a second. Poverty will cause him to transgress the world of his creators. Meaning that a person who is poor is going to be placed in a very difficult situation, right? How are you going to function? So it'll lead you to sin if you're going to have to... Now, what does it mean? Does that mean you're going to steal? Does that mean you're going to be angry all day long, right? Exactly what is the sin that's referring to? Is a little bit unclear. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're supposed to, you know, work 18 hours a day, right? Because, as it says, Mikom Makom, back in the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Yasa Malachto Ikar Ela Arai. Work should not be your primary, it should just be your temporary. The Torah so keva, your Torah is the one that needs to be established and needs to be fixed. And if you do it that way, then you'll be able to, Zevezeh Yiskayem Biyado. And you should, this way, you'll be able to do both of them. Right? And that's what Magen Avraham says. What is it, Milach Tovikar, Perush? She has to rock Kedei Parnasaso. So you should work in order to be able to earn a living. Right? As the Gemara then, as the Magen Avraham quotes the Gemara that we saw yesterday, Harbi Asu Ki Rabbi Shema V'Ala Sabi Yadan. Right? The many people acted like Rabbi Shema, and they were successful. Many, I suppose, too, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's method that they said, that we quoted yesterday, which is Gemara Brachos, was not successful. Meaning, the Sharaf seems to suggest, based on the Gemara, that what do we do? Go like Rabbi Shema, i.e., we find this combination to be able to do both. Okay.
What is the connection between poverty and studying Torah? Because in Shulchan Aruch it says, right, after you study Torah, you should go to work. And then you're saying because
if you don't work at all and you're impoverished, it's going to lead to sin.
Right. Okay.
Exactly what the sin is, at least from here, is unclear. I think later on they're going to, but I can tell you right now, they're worried about that if you're not going to have any food and money, it might lead to stealing, or it might lead to things that are unethical. That's the word about. Yeah. So again, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, what do? We hold like Rabbi Shmuel. That's almost pretty clear, right? He's almost quoting him. He's even quoting a little bit of that Mishnah Paragraph that we also saw yesterday as well. So on this, this is very interesting. Take a look on page 135, the top of the page. The Machatzis HaShekel notes that the Marsha explains that the reason Abayi said that many were successful when following Rabbi Shmuel and were unsuccessful when following Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is because only those who are completely righteous can merit to have their work done by others. Meaning, there's this level of idealism that's almost impractical, but in the ultimate world, if you are a tzaddik, a very righteous person, I guess all the work will be done by others. You know, that could also mean you have a wealthy father too, right? Or a wealthy father-in-law, right? In which case, you don't need to necessarily do any of the work because it's nasa yecherim. It's called, you know, someone else in your family, right? But at some point in time, or maybe you're giving the lottery, right? I don't know if you're a righteous person and you buy lottery tickets and you win the lottery, in which case, I guess that's another way of doing it, right?
You've earned it.
So, what?
You've earned it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if you've earned it. Maybe you have, I don't know, right? But again, that's the Rabbi Shmuel is trying to say that you have to be, in order to be successful, you're going to need to be, in order to be like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you're going to need to have this completely righteous. And well, I think to say, well, look at me, I'm a pretty righteous person. Since I'm such a righteous person, I'm in a great position. I think it's very dangerous to say that. It's a little bit ego, you know, egotistical or whatever. So, yeah, sorry, I didn't make coffee this morning. Okay, here we go, let's continue. So on the Marsha in his commentary on the Gemara in 13, We'll just read that top part. Harbi asu ki Rabbi Shmuel nira lefaresh devada yesh tadin gmurim. Listen, there's for sure those people. Now, what percentage is that? Is that 0.1? Is that 1? Is that 50%? You know, I don't know. I'm not so sure. But I imagine it's not the average Joe Shmuel, that's for sure. Deme kavim behu melachas asman nasa idechem ella deme atim hema. There are people that could be like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but those numbers are very, very, very small. Okay? Right? 1%, 0.1%, I don't know exactly the number, but it's a very small percentage. And if you go down to that second part that's bolded, v'zeh shamru, and this is what was quoted, again, that back in the Gemara Brachos we saw yesterday, harbi asuk Rabbi Shimon, that's some of the time. People acted in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, and they were successful. Meaning, derov ha'olam einam tzadikin gmurim. The majority of people are not tzaddikim. The majority of the people are going to need to work in order to earn a living. Why? The fisher rubam einam tzaddikim gmurim. Not everyone's allowed Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, right? This is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. This is on the average Joe Shmo. Okay. He says maybe lasi labo. Okay. Well, avamech kulam tzaddikim. Maybe we will reach that level. Okay. Up until now, the clear conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch and many of the Rishonim is we do not hold like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That is for a very small number, right? That's not the default of the Jewish people. It's for a very, very, very minority of Jews. But the question that this we're now going to discuss, which is a fascinating question, is so how do we deal with full-time Torah learning, right? Because if the Marsha is saying that only the super righteous, or the righteous, right? Completely righteous, people are able to learn full time and not have to work. Well, then, what do we do about the concept of yeshiva and kolos? How do we grapple with that? Okay? So, the Rambam, this is a well known Rambam, source number 14. The Rambam says in the laws of Shemitah and Yovah, which seems a little bit to come from left field, but you'll see why he says this, because he talks about not just literal Shevet Levi, but conceptual Shevet Levi. Take a look at this. The Rambam, Laz Shemitah and Yovam. V'lama lo zachu Levi b'nachalas Eretz Yisrael u'vizasam imechab. How come Shevet Levi never got a physical land in the Eretz Yisrael? Here we go. V'pnei shehuvdal lavod es Hashem l'sharso v'l'haros darkav v'yesharim mishpatav v'tzadikim l'rabim. He needed to teach. The Shevet Levi's job was to teach and to service others. As it says, Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov Esarascha LeYisrael. Of course, the Pasuk in Dvarim. Therefore, V'fichach, Huvdalu Medarkei Olam. If you want to teach and you want to be successful and you want to be able to serve others, you need to be separated from the regular ways of the world, right? Lo Orchid Mulchama Keshar Yisrael. I can't necessarily go to war like the average Jew. V'lo nu chalin, right? They are not going to be able to have some type of inheritance, right? They can't do it. V'lo zuchin latzman b'koch gufan. And they're not going to be able to, you know, work the physical land, right? Physical labor. Elahem chayal Hashem. They are servants of God. As it says, Berech Hashem chelo. Fine. And then here, so again, why didn't Shivi get a land? Very simple. They can't be bothered with the daily activities. They need to focus on other types of behaviors. And then, below Shevet Levi Bilvad, not just Shevet Levi, Ela Kol Ish V'ish, Mibay Olam, rather any person, Asher Nadva Rucho Oso, whose spirit rests upon him. Right? And they've separated themselves in order to serve God. Right? So we see that, again, you have literal Shevet Levi, then you have conceptual Shevet Levi. So says the Rambam, very simple, you can have someone in the modern world, I guess this would be the modern day application, I see myself as someone from Shevet Levi, I'm also going to join in this pursuit, just like Shevet Levi. And that is to, again, to serve. And again, I'm motivated. I want to serve Hashem on this full-time basis, almost like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, I guess is what the author is trying to connect it with. And what are you going to do about your What are you going to, that doesn't seem to be the conclusion of the Gemara, right? How are you going to, right? How are you going to deal with that? It's very interesting. Okay, we'll have to grapple with that. So, the Bir Halacha will deal with that, and that's 15. Kadu Besvarim, in 15, Jezehu Ne'emar L'Klal Ha'olam. She'ein Kulam Yecholim Niskod La'alos Madrigar Ramazol Le'yos Oskam Rak with Harbavad. Most people, if you deal and you don't deal with business, sorry, you need to deal with business in order to be able to function and live. Aval, there are people, anashim yechidim, yachol himatzeh b'chol eis b'ofen zeh. There are individuals who are able not to work. Right? That what? Who will find the work? Look after the bracket. Rosh Baruch Hu bevada yimatzeh lehem parnasasam. God will find them their parnasa. And he quotes the Rambam that we just read. Right, again, this is the Bir Halacha on the Shulchan Aruch from a few sources prior, and he says, if you could find people who can sustain themselves and live in a very meager way, says this is not for everybody, but you can have this partnership of called Yisachar and Zvulin, which means we'll make a deal. You're good at business. I'm good at learning. I'm good at serving the Jewish people. You'll go out and work. And you'll make $1 million, then you'll keep half of yourself and you'll give me half. Or you'll keep half of yourself and you'll give me a quarter, whatever it'll be. That'll be our partnership that we're going to come up with, right? And by the way, half and half maybe makes even more sense because you're not learning. I'm learning all day long. We'll split the schar, we'll split the money. And again, not everyone could sit and learn. Not everybody could necessarily be successful at work and have a good business acumen. And if you're going to work, don't make $250,000. If you're going to work, you might as well make $1 million, of course, because that's so easy to do. Yeah.
So, should everyone start learning, and whoever fails, like Rabbi Shimon, should then go and do like Rabbi Shimon?
So the question is, and that's it's a very good point. If you go by numbers, right? The question is the failure the right turn, right? I mean, it seems to be the numbers are small, based on the Marsha. He's saying that. Listen, what was his language? Matimod. What was his language?
Matimod. Smaller.
Here, Sherubim Einam Tzadikim Gemurim. Was it what number did he say? Here, Ella. No, sorry, Ma'atim Hema. So you know, is that the default of every person? Probably not. Listen, you do have people. I remember.
Is it better to fail as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or succeed as Rabbi Yishmael? To try.
It's not a failure.
Well, listen. Remember. You also have to remember that in the older world, the concept of everybody going to school, men and women, at the age of 14 was unheard of. Everybody had to work. At the age of 12, I think most people were already working full time. You know, I'm sure you've all heard of stories of grandparents, you know, or great grandparents, maybe, right? They had a job and they peddled and that, and were able to survive in Europe, right? I mean, that's like, even in America, right? Coming, that was pretty much the standard. The concept of an education act where people had to go to school till the age of 16 is less than 100 years old, right? It's a very modern term throughout human history. So I think that most kids had, especially in the Jewish world, always were educated, meaning in terms of being able to read and write.
Right?
Yeah. It's some type of education, you know, more formal, less formal, depending on the time period. And then there was a time where they had to make a decision. And by the way, I think often it was very much economically based, right? Depending on the survival. Family situation. Stay longer in some type of cheder or, you know, even the people who were in Europe, who went to university, they were the affluent because you needed to basically take years off, not make money and study. Like that was a luxury. Most people couldn't afford to do that, right? I think. So, you know, now in the modern world, everybody gets, in the modern world that we live in, with everyone basically going to school full time until they're 18, 17, that's pretty much almost mandated by law. I mean, everyone doesn't need a high school diploma, right? So everyone does have an opportunity to be able to taste it and see, right? I think, so that's the advantage that we live in today, is that everyone's able to kind of experience learning in a way that they never were able to do, right? Like there are more people today learning. The opportunities today are crazy compared to any other time in Jewish history, right? I mean, it's just, and that's not, forget like the internet, where I'm just talking about formal education. I'm not talking about you could do things on your own independently now that you could never do before. So, that's what I'm saying. That's why you don't, it's not, you don't no longer have an, it's not all or nothing today. Like, you don't have, right? Listen, I know I've...
No, but like, which one would he prefer?
He did a whole life of cars, so I assume he'd probably assume cars.
But for the average person.
No, so the average person can't, is not Shemeshim Bar Yochai. That's not the average person.
They should try to be like Shemeshim
Bar Yochai. But I'm saying like...
But so the question is that considered, if I look at myself and like, oh, I'm a tzaddik, therefore, I can. Mean, that's. It does require a little bit of ego, no, to be able to say, "I'm like, I'm a righteous person. I'm going to be okay." It's a little egotistical. But even about this problem. Hold on, you'll see. You'll see. We're not done. There's a lot more here. Take a look at the bottom of 137. That according to the Rambam Bir Halacha, it seems that although the Shulchan Aruch and many other sources favor the approach of earning a livelihood combined with Torah study for most, anyone who feels he's prepared to devote his life to Torah study and can find a means to support may do so. This is the basis for the practice of all those who study in Kolel full-time for many years. Despite the declaration of the Rambam, Rav Kook writes in Ein Hayah, his commentary on the Agadic portions of Brachos and Shabbos, which is the next source, it seems that only a minute number of individuals can truly reach the level of Shem Bar Yochai, where they study Torah and their needs are provided for them by others. Rav Kook explains that the Torah was not given to angels but humans. Therefore, the rules of the Torah follow the majority of the population and dictate that most individuals should earn a livelihood normally. And that's exactly what Rav Kook says in Surah 16, right? He says, look at 16, Machlokes hi be'etzem teva adam. Right? It's a debate in the nature of human beings. Im hu alu liyos bilti asuk be shum davar maasi, ki im behaskavadas, o shehu davar shere lumaylami tivo. Right? Is this something which is malmi neteva? Is this almost, is it supernatural? Like to be able to survive and to live and not earn a living is almost supernatural in the world that we live in. Right? Now, and Rav Kook is living in the more modern world where, you know, to be able to say, you know what, it's okay, I can survive off of government handouts, right? That also has problems to it, you know, surviving on government handouts and the like. But okay? V'im yimtzu anashim na'lim shehem yargishu batzmam ki ludulas no'adu. Right? There are individuals who see themselves being brought up with a sense of greatness. That's their inclination. They are almost supernatural, right? But the laws of the Torah, wasn't given to angels, right? That, you know, you listen, we see today there are people. There are individuals who have this incredible acumen, who have this incredible passion and love and desire and talent. You know, I remember Rabbi David, over 30 years ago, I remember Rabbi David saying the greatest mistake, I don't know if Rabbi David was actually Rosh Chaim in Rosh Yeshiva of Rosh Chaim, and years ago now he's the Torah Shraga, right? He's the Rosh Yeshiva Torah Shraga. So he always used to say, he said, listen, what we should do is very simple. We should take everybody who's in Kollel, and we should make a decision that only 30% of them should stay, and they should get the money that everyone else is receiving. So that these 30% who are people who are in the kolo now, right, should earn a better, not in poverty, they should earn a more, you know, proper wage so they're able to learn. And listen, and by the way, learning full-time doesn't mean necessarily teaching. It can be, but teaching is still a part, it's still a job, right? We're talking about people who are able to learn full-time, right? Okay, so maybe you could teach a little bit. But he said that would allow those people who are learning to live above the poverty line, a sense of dignity. And he said, if you really want to be able to produce, you know, books and material and insights, you need to be able to focus. Listen, the world of academia, that's where it
right.
works.
Why should there not be an admissions process?
Right, admissions it's process. Like, there should be...
Top of the top.
Right, there should be standards. And this way, and I'll tell you why, this way, if you raise the bar, you make it even you'd make it even better. I think
more exclusive.
More exclusive.
Make them pass
one
the
word of Torah from a pintle yid is better than.
But right, I'll tell you this. See, what makes it, and this is not what I wanted to discuss at all. What makes it challenging in Israel is that you have the old army thing, right? And that is all of a sudden. But that's what makes it super complicated, right? Because now there's so that's a whole, that becomes a whole bit itself. But let's talk about in North America. We don't have that army where you have a much more. You can really make these decisions. You don't have you don't have to decide between army and between yeshiva. Although you don't necessarily have to decide one versus the other, but regardless, it's a very different system that we have in North America than what they have in Israel, which just complicates things a great deal.
The fact that they both went back and forth, like Rav Shimon and Hanan, said yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe people could do both.
No, but both would be Rabbi Shimon. I mean, no one said you should work all day. That no one says.
Nobody.
Now, I'll tell you what makes things complicated. What makes things complicated in the modern world, like I was in Israel. I said, I have certain friends now, they're living the dream. Why? Because they have they work North American hours. They can wake up in the morning, help their kids get ready for school. They go to school much earlier in Israel, right? So by 7:45, everyone's out the door. They can go learn. They can learn till noon. They can then eat lunch. And then they start working at 1:00. And they could work till, okay, so their night's a little bit weird. They have to work till like 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock. No, they have to work till it's 10 o'clock at night, right? And they're done. Now, and earn American money living in Israel. Now, that's a pretty good deal, right? Like, okay, so it's weird. Their nights are a bit weird sometimes. And they don't work Fridays because it doesn't make sense for Fridays. And Sundays, because they're working in America, Sundays, they said they can work a few hours, which is good because they work Fridays and it makes them. And they said, okay, if they live in America, they make a much better American salary, but you don't need to. You're not paying tuition. You're not paying, right? You don't have the same type of expenses. So, and we get to learn. They have to learn every single morning. I mean, that's like, that's pretty good. So that would be, in theory, the example like Rabbi Shmo. We're able to combine the two, right? The problem, and this is the problem in the modern world, is that it is not easy. How do you find a job that you could really do that, right? It is not easy to be able to find a job where you could start at 11, right, or start at 12, right, or end at 3, right? That's a challenge in the modern world that we live in. It's not going to be so easy to be able to find a job that's half a day. That really, to me, is a major issue today. Right, it doesn't exist almost anywhere, unless like you're like scratching code in your basement or something, and you can do those types of jobs, right? Like, but the truth is, the modern world doesn't. Listen, we're not out there in the fields all day long. We're not planting, we're not harvesting.
My brother Daniel is like in tech PR, right? And he's in like this tech field. And these guys, like, they create their own hours also. Like, it's busy, but a lot of this tech community and everything, like,
right, much more flexible.
Yeah, sure, I'll get the job. It's per job. It's kind of like a trade. I'll get the job done. I'm working a job, but like I'll just do it on my own hours. They work in the middle of the night. They're free
today.
They take off days, but they're they knock it out in a couple of days.
Right. If you're not dealing with the 9 to 5 hours, because it's really about listen, if my job is to build a table, so I can build a table at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Night if you want.
What's the difference? So I'll have it done to you by Friday at 4 p.m. and I could do it at Thursday at 2 in the morning if you want. Right. So you're right. There are people who. Pretty much like a trade system. Okay. We have 2 minutes. Let's start. Hindu 17. This is very important. Achar sheyetzei mibeis haknesses, after Shulchan Aruch says, after you leave Shul, you lech lebeis haMedrash, you go to the Beit Midrash, and what do? V'yikva eis lomod, yishuzal b'sham to study, v'tzal shoso eis yek kavua. And again, it's so interesting. Remember, if you go back to what we started the whole conversation with, the Gemara and Shabbos, that said, there are certain questions that God's going to ask you when you're 120 years old. And one of the questions is, kavata itim l'Torah. Did you establish time to learn Torah? It is very interesting. Both the brachos that we say in Berachos HaTorah, which talks much more about that it should be pleasant, la'asok b'divrei Torah, doesn't say l'umod kolayam kulo Torah, right? The Gemara in Shabbos talks about, did you establish times to learn Torah? The Shulchan Aruch, when it codifies, it says, you should establish eis l'umod, a time to learn. V'tzoshosho eis yek kavua, it should be established. Shalo yavi renu, af imhu savur l'harviach harbe. Even if oh my goodness, I can make a great business deal at 6 o'clock in the morning. No, this is my established time to learn, and that's what I do. And I think that really is one of the most important messages. It's not always about, especially in the modern world, where let's say you simply can't find the 3 hours during the day straight, or an hour and a half, an hour and a half at night, which is not physically possible based on who you are and your lifestyle and your family, let's say. But instead, what I'm going to have kavua, and I'll push myself a little bit, and maybe it will make my life a little bit difficult, and I'll sleep a little bit less, but it's going to be kavua. That seems to be what really matters the most, right? And it's yarva yarva, this is what I do, and these are my times. I think that really is the most essential part of really all this, is I'm going to, now, can I do more? You know, so okay, so that's where I think where the real negotiation lies. You know, is 10 minutes really, you really can't find another 10 minutes? Like, really? Can't really find another half an hour? And then those are the things that have to be established and be like, these are my times. Unless I have an emergency at that time, even if it means I have an exam the next day, it means this, these are my times, this is what I do. And I think that to me is really, is kavua and established. That's a great question. Kavua. Probably means daily. It says after you go to shul, you daven, you learn. Yeah, probably means daily. Listen, that's in many ways, that's revolutionary about Dafyomi, right? Like, right? I think that's really what Rav Meir Shapiro tried to do. Right? Right. This is like a Dafyomi concept, right? Okay. Let's end there because it's already 28.